Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Why It Matters. And of course, we're starting to get used to this, right? Each time you see the rise in number of COVID-19 cases here in Singapore, the government then makes some kind of a call to limit the amount of dining in. And right now, you can't dine in at all at F&B establishments. And representatives from the F&B industry, Save F&B SG, the hashtag there, has called on the government to provide more help, saying businesses have been hard hit by closures due to COVID-19 restrictions. In a letter of appeal addressed to Finance Minister Lawrence Wong and Trade and Industry Minister Gan Kim Yong, members of local F&B scene noted that the government has announced an additional $1.1 billion support package. The package, of course, includes more wage subsidies under the Jobs Support Scheme for affected sectors, including F&B. But despite that, the F&B industry remains heavily affected by the rounds of closures, ever-evolving restrictions and rules, and of course, the lack of proactive support to protect their businesses and local enterprises. The letter was signed by many F&B representatives and employees, including those from Unlisted Collection, Illido Group, Paris Baguette Singapore, Violet Un, the Ritz-Carlton as well, just to name a few. Let's find out more about this open letter and how the F&B sector is affected by this latest round of COVID-19 restrictions. On the line with me this morning is Anthony Yeo, chef and owner of Summer Hill and advocate of Save F&B SG. Anthony, good morning.
Hi, Elliot. Ryan, thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for speaking with us. Quite a topic. It's a sad topic to talk about. So I saw this circulating on social media, this hashtag SaveFMBSG. I understand it's a ground-up movement made up of a coalition of, what, 500 restaurants or more than 500 restaurants? Where's this movement at right now? How fast is it growing?
It's been growing steadily. We're getting, I think, more members who are adding on each week, or rather each time we have restrictions placed on us, to kind of put a voice to the frustration everyone's feeling, as well as, I guess at some point, it's a bit of group therapy to commiserate together as well.
Sure. I mean, if we were to talk about challenges, just because you can have takeaway doesn't mean it's enough to make money or even survive. There are things like rental, overhead, and all that. Help us dive a little bit into that and the kind of adverse effects that these restrictions have hit F&B industry.
Definitely, just having takeaways do not make up for the loss in revenue. You're seeing as much as anywhere from 40 to some places 90% reduction in your sales each day, every time that we have a dine-in ban. And, you know, they're talking about how now restrictions are a bit more eased compared to when we were in the circuit breaker last year.
Of course,
but the effect has still been the same, if not worse, for F&B businesses. And that's exactly why we wrote the letter and asked for more support that's a bit closer to the circuit breaker levels, because the way we're still being affected and we're absorbing those losses continuously, as well as you have people closing down, dealing with cash flow problems, the level of support needs to be a little bit more supportive.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that letter then. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of layers to it, but the one that obviously will stand out is rental rebates. Very different situation this year, right? Because last year it was the landlords were given those rebates and encouraged to pass it down to the tenants. This time around, I think it's the other way around in that sense, for lack of a better choice of words. Tell us more about what you're highlighting with regard to these rental issues.
The rental issues are that the government has basically encouraged landlords to pass on rebate or to provide reliefs to tenants, and that hasn't always been the case. To be fair, you do have some very good landlords who have worked with us, with tenants, to make sure that they're supported, but it's not something that's happening across the board. Some people even have their rentals raised during this period, which is just completely insane to think about, at the opposite end of what we want. So that's why we called on the government to give support to us as a whole and mandate landlords And thankfully, they did actually listen after the letter was released that, you know, there will be a mandate to pay 2 weeks rental relief now from the landlords.
Yeah. But I understand that your letter has asked the government to consider a mandate of 6 weeks worth of total rental rebate. Why have you chosen 6 weeks?
That covers, you know, at least the month of these dining restrictions.
Yes.
And the thing is also, we're asking for a bit more because we had to deal with the heightened alert before as well, where rental reliefs were not even mandated, as well as during circuit breaker, where rental reliefs are not mandated as well. And a lot of people were greatly affected by that. So 6 weeks is, look, we're just trying to ask you to throw us a lifeline here. Because even when restrictions ease on the 18th, hopefully, fingers crossed, right? It doesn't mean the new businesses magically flip a switch and profits come back and losses are recovered. Every time there are restrictions, it takes time for us to recover from that as well. And with the restrictions coming in and out and in and out, that makes it much harder as well.
Hey, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because, and this is coming from a personal note, like each time restrictions are lifted, that week itself, my wife and I, we try to get a booking for nice restaurants and we find that things are already booked out way in advance. Help explain this a little bit because you're saying that it takes time to build up. I am assuming because there's limited dining, you just can't take up the same capacity. Are there other reasons?
Yeah, well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's definitely a big point, is that we're operating some places, like my restaurant operates at about 40% of its capacity
now.
So it doesn't take much to fill up a restaurant. Yeah. So when you translate that to actually real numbers, for my restaurant from Summerhill goes from being able to seat about 40 people down to about 18 to 20 people a night seating. So not very difficult to fill up restaurants these days.
Mm.
And, you know, we're still, at the same time, we're also, when I say talk about recovery, it's recovering from, you know, those 40 to 90% of losses you suffered through the past month. You don't make that back in a month, even. So it's a lot. There's a lot of healing to do for the industry.
It's not just making it back. You're making it back with one hand tied behind your back because it's 40% capacity. Gosh, let's talk about the manpower issues. You've called for, Safe FMB SG has called for a 60% JSS for all employees, regardless of nationality, to be extended till September 30th instead of August 18th. I'm assuming it's the same logic here where, you know, even if the restrictions are lifted, you still need a bit of time to really pick up.
Yes, same thing. The recovery period help us get back to the point where, you know, we can stand on our own 2 feet. That's what we want. As well as extending it to all workers, not just Singaporean and PR workers. Because the people who are here on work permits, they're here with jobs. They do need our support. We want to keep them hired. And we're heavily reliant on a lot of foreign workers in the F&B industry. So we do want to see them supported as well. They're part of our families.
Not a lot of Singaporeans want to take up those jobs, unfortunately. I want to talk about, and there was potential for this, vaccination separation or segregation, however you want to put it. Now, this week, Minister Lawrence Wong, speaking in Parliament, has hinted for a potential of easing of some of these measures in early August. If you want to dine out, make sure you're fully vaccinated. How far is this going to go to help you guys?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that we welcome. That's something we actually asked for, because that would indicate that we don't have to go into total dining bans again in the future if we're able to allow vaccinated people in, which is now, I think last I heard, was about 70% of the nation is
if we get there. Yeah.
So that would be go a long way to, you know, making the F&B industry a little more resilient. And as we move towards dealing with COVID-19 as an endemic issue, that would be, I think, the way to go, where we don't have to keep opening and shutting down an entire industry and, you know, basically keep crippling us throughout the year.
Yeah. Actually, and on that note, a bit of an opinion question. Would you rather, let's say hypothetically, early August comes and we are going to ease some restrictions. Hypothetically, would you prefer a case where right from the start of these ease of restrictions, where it's if you want to dine out, you have to be fully vaccinated. instead of, oh, okay, if you're not fully vaccinated, you dine out in groups of two. If you're fully vaccinated, you dine out in groups of five. I mean, that rule was floating around for a while, right? Which would you rather, which would help operations just get going properly again?
Oh, well, personally speaking, I would prefer if we just were able to, you know, seat people in whatever number of groups as long as they're fully vaccinated.
Right, right.
Simply because, you know, one, it's safer, I think, for everyone that way. Until, you know, a solution can be found for people who aren't vaccinated, whether it's because they're willing or medically they're not able to, that's a separate thing.
Sure.
But also just to administer and enforce those rules, because you're relying on F&B operators to actually enforce those. That week where we had those different permutations and people were developing apps to calculate whether you can actually go out and eat, it became ludicrous.
Yeah.
Where you had to go on an app to figure out whether you could serve a plate of food, and that's what it comes down to. At some point, the number of hoops you have to jump through don't make it worth it to serve a plate of food or even come to a restaurant just to eat. It becomes a trial. And that's not what eating out is about.
Yeah, exactly, Anthony. That's very, very well put. Final question, Anthony, and this might be a bit of an emotional and sensitive one. I remember at the start of these clusters, I have a lot of friends in the F&B industry, and I see on social media how they talk about the F&B industry being punished due to the KTV cluster, which kind of sparked off all of this. Where's the F&B industry at right now? I mean, has that anger subsided? Is it more optimistic, looking forward to the potential of if you are vaccinated, you can dine out type of situation?
I think we're definitely a lot more hopeful. A sense of relief did come over me when, you know, the government announced those reliefs and when there was a further acknowledgement of things like the rental reliefs and mandating it. So that helped. I know a lot of us, myself included, were, I guess, very, very frustrated, to put it simply, when you hear, you know, we've done everything, we followed all the restrictions, and then this one particular group comes along and spoils it for everyone, you know, they spoil market, and like, there's nothing you can do. So, but definitely that subsides. I think there is definitely a level of underlying stress that permeates everyone, you know, because it's been a year. It's been a heck of a year.
It's been tough. Final question to wrap up very quickly, Anthony. Is there anything else you would like to see that could go into helping the F&B industry?
Definitely one thing. I mean, what we've talked about so far is, I think, immediate short-term measures to help out the F&B industry. I think in the longer term, which is what we all want to look forward to, is better engagement of our industry when coming up with these measures. I know that, you know, now it has to be very reactive as these clusters pop up, but engagement with us, look to plan in the future. If this happens again, let's war game, you know, different scenarios.
Look ahead.
And yeah, look ahead and engage us to talk about, look, what's practical, and we'll tell you, we'll be able to give constructive feedback.
Nice.
Like, having 20 different permutations of people seating is not practical, and things like that. And that would go a long way to reducing everyone's stress levels, I think.
My favorite joke is those permutations are going to be used for the next GCE O-level math examination.
Yeah, and then so then another group of Singaporeans gets affected by the KTV.
Oh, gosh. Let's hope that doesn't go there. And I do hope you get your wish, you know, of more engagement. It sounds like something that's very productive that can happen in the future, because we are living with COVID after all. Anthony Yeo, chef and owner of Summer Hill. He's also an advocate of Safe F&B SG. Anthony, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you, Elliot. Stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.